Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning into the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a down the rabbit hole show called Passport to Earn, where Drew and I are joined by Hugh McDonough, co-founder and CEO of GBM Auctions, to talk about their bid to earn platform and some of the exciting and groundbreaking things they're doing for auctions in general and that are now being applied to domain names. In fact, we're running an auction for 8 of our own domains on the GBM.domains platform starting this week, closing next week, which should be Thursday, July 25th. So mark your calendars and don't miss it. There's some crypto onboarding you'll need to do, which is basically setting up a Coinbase or MetaMask wallet if you don't have one. But all that's covered on the show. And those domains are brickweed.com, buytix.com, chainchoice.com, getblazed.com, hirecaliber.com, nicerides.com, synopsis.co, and trippy.co. Exciting stuff for sure. And we talk about all that and more on today's episode. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at domainsherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at ds.tv. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. And please make sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button, and all that good stuff everywhere you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. Also, we integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. So definitely check all that out. And props to our sponsor, Dan.com, the number one place in the world to buy and sell your domains with a special platform made for domain investors. A special shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world, specializing in domain acquisition, sales, and appraisals. Find out more at mediaoptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain names and domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and of course, domain investing. With that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. So let's jump down the rabbit hole. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, aka JT, aka Jay On, aka Sherpa Winfrey, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is part of our Down the Rabbit Hole series, so welcome to the Tea Party. As we say here on Domain Sherpa, all roads lead to domains, and in the reverse, our work with domains has us venturing all the time into different areas and topics, some domain-related, some not so domain-related. But for all you domain maxis out there in the audience, don't worry, today is a domain-related show, and one that I'm very, very excited about. So we're going to get into some stuff. And we're going to jump down the rabbit hole. So let's go ahead and I will introduce my co-host. Over to my right, I got my boy Andrew Rosner, aka Morpheus, aka the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, aka Bob Lee Swagger, the Sniper, aka Drew got what I need, aka Cancel Adams, Graybeard, the Domain Pirate. What's up, dude? How are you?
I'm great. I couldn't be better.
Wow, that's awesome. That means we might get like, so we're going to get Happy Drew on the show. Like, it was like, what's the tempo? You're like, well, I don't know if I'm doing that good.
I mean, let's not push you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, Happy Drew. No, but like, optimistic, relaxed, you know?
Yeah. You know, there's that meme, right? Where it's like, the guy's in the fountain or whatever, and it's like,
yeah, that's me right now. That's me. I'm in my element,
comfortable in my bags, and I'm living my best life or whatever. So all right, well, man, that's what's good. All right, well, look, let's dive right into it because we got somebody who is on the show for the first time since I have been host, Hugo McDonough, aka Hugo Boss, aka Alan Turing, aka Mr. Everybody Wins, aka Bid to Earn. He is the founder and CEO of GBM Auctions, and they just launched the GBM.domains platform, which basically utilizes the base network from Coinbase for tokenizing new and existing domains. And what that means, I will actually let him discuss it and describe it and explain it on the show here as we go through all this stuff. We've got some really exciting things, including some domains that we are going to be auctioning on the GBM.domains platform here in the upcoming week or two. But we're going to get into all those details right now. Hugo, first of all, welcome back to the show, man. How are you?
Good to be here. Thanks for having me, JT. Good to see you, Drew.
Great to see you, Hugo. Well,
good day as well. Very happy. Things are looking up. It's going to be an interesting couple of years, that's for sure.
There are exciting times that are coming. I mean, crazy and interesting times, but I think exciting times all the same. And as we mentioned, so you guys have had this this auction technology that you've been working on. In fact, Drew, full disclosure, Drew is an investor in GBM. And we you know, again, you've been on the show. We've talked about the tech. We talked about some of the what we think is really super interesting and the opportunities around the bid to earn dynamics and how it could be game changing for obviously auctions, but domain auctions. So which is why, you know, we're diving into this. Obviously, there's this Web 2, Web 3 overlap. There's a lot of really cool, interesting stuff. Drew, when he talks about you, Hugo is always talking about how smart you are, which is like, you know, it's cool, but then it makes me feel like, you know, like I'm like the brother or the kid that doesn't get like the love when I'm like, yeah, you know, I mean, cool. Yeah, Hugo might be smart, but, you know, but can he come up with AKAs on a show?
I can't do that. I've not got that kind of brain. You're the leader there, JT, for sure.
But he does, you know, but he's always talking about how smart you are. And we see it. We see it with the tech and the vision of what you guys are doing, which is really, really cool. And again, it's auction tech that now you're applying it to. It's always been part of the roadmap. But now you're for real, like you guys have got your hands dirty and applying it to domains, which is also why, you know, my understanding in some of the conversations we've had that, you know, Drew really encouraged you to get out and start to sort of experience the domain space and get to know people and really get in. And you actually went to your first NamesCon this year. You were at NamesCon.
Totally. Yeah. So, I mean, a bit about the journey, I guess, of getting to NamesCon. So we all started and built this back in 2018 on Web3, crypto, blockchain, smart contract technology. And that's what makes it all work, because bids in a GVM system have to be fully funded. And crypto is a great way of enforcing that and making these payments happen in real time. And I'll
just for clarity, like that, the reason that that's necessary is because that's the whole mechanism that prevents fraud, right? Nobody can fraudulently bid because their bid has to be, in order to be counted, it has to be funded.
Totally.
And it's locked. It's basically escrowed until the next.
Yeah. Bid. Yeah, exactly. And even better is that when you create an auction system on chain, there's actually lots of ways to manipulate and front run it. Like traditional systems like English auctions, Dutch auctions, really easy to manipulate on chain. But in a GBM auction, because you have to have a hash of the previous highest bid in your next bid, you can't front run it. Like, or if you do front run it, you've committed capital and you've lost out. Like there's no economic incentive.
Incentive. Yes.
Which is powerful. But just going back to the journey part. So the last couple of years, we've been really selling the auction system and the software and licensing out in the Web3 world, predominantly NFTs, because that's where the clear initial market fit was for us. Mm-hmm. And ever since day one, when Andrew became a part of the venture, you know, he's been, you know, knocking on the door. The guy's got to get this into domains, right? You've got to get this into domains. Domains are the original NFTs. They are an illiquid asset class. They need better price discovery. Every single one is unique. Every single one is individual, personal to this person or that company, etc. GBM is like made for this. And so finally, after 2 years of playing around in the NFT space, we finally got around to making the domain side of the business happen. And that's what we've done with GBM.domains, which we'll talk more about later. But as GBM.domains is very fresh and really kind of only released in beta like 3 months ago, 2 months ago even, Drew was like, you need to go to NamesCon, right? You need to meet domainers, you need to understand domainers, you need to get into the industry, you need to see how people think, how it operates. And at a time when we were just bringing the beta out, it obviously made perfect sense. So I hopped on a plane to Austin, went to my first domain conference and had a massive ball. Like it was awesome. I guess the big thing for me, right, is like, I live and breathe crypto and have been in crypto since day one. Domains has kind of been a peripheral thing for me in many ways, but the domainers are the OGs of the internet. Like it's just a fact, right? And like these guys built the protocol systems. They built the DNS systems. You know, Mocha Petrus was at NamesCon, right? I mean, these guys, you know, Vin Cerf, these guys built the internet. And it's kind of very interesting to see this sort of like, you know, when you go to like crypto conferences and you see these really flashy, you know, very hype orientated conferences full of very, very young people who are all basically all speculating on whatever the next meme coin is. And then you go to a domains conference where it's a slightly older demographic, but like they totally understand scarcity, digital scarcity, the value of a domain, like the value of a web address, and they understand more about what's happening in the Web3 space than I would have given them credit for before going to the conference, actually. And you know, they're very, very wise in like this bit's interesting, that bit's not so interesting. You know, that's got some value potentially. That bit's totally useless. And so it's really interesting for me to kind of see that and see these, you know, legends of the internet. And at the same time, meet the same kind of psychology that exists in the NFT world, but with domains, right? And it was just really interesting for me to see that because it's two different worlds, but with huge crossover. So it was a massively useful experience. The really cool Ride of the Dot auction was there with Monty Khan, and that was great to see live. And as it was happening, I was just thinking to myself, man, if this was Bid to Earn, this would have gone proper crazy. And just meeting some of the great builders.
Man, Bid to Earn in a live bidding situation at NamesCon would be fucking off the chart. That would be so hot.
It would be pretty cool. Yeah,
it would be very cool.
We'll wait for something like that to happen.
Yeah. Well, let's start there and talk about Bid to Earn and exactly what that means, right? Because I think that's such a key piece of everything that you're doing and what is so unique and exciting about it. And, you know, coming from my world, you know, having run NameJet, and having supported some of those live auctions as well. I mean, that's my world, right? And this is why I find this stuff so interesting because, you know, we would run through challenges where, you know, do you have clients, you know, customers fund accounts? How do you prevent fraud and other things? You know, I mean, that's so much time and effort and energy and money is spent and bandwidth is spent on just trying to make sure that everything is legitimate and that, you know, and it all does kind of come back to proper incentives and those kinds of things. But even something as simple as like having customers pre-fund their accounts in order to make sure that they're paying for the auctions that they win, you know, we would do things to verify customers and, you know, talk about old school methods of literally, you know, send us a copy of your, you know, of your driver's license and a picture of you holding today's paper, you know, shit like that, where, you know, as you start to, you know, be able to, the things you can do on chain and, you know, sort of the seamlessness of crypto and, you know, because the other thing too is people putting up money. Oh, I don't necessarily want to do that. And if they're going to use a credit card, it's like, okay, great. But then they can even charge that back. So it's like, and then everybody and all the customers want everything to just work seamlessly and easily and efficiently. And, you know, and then the other piece that you also have that's an interesting thing is when you talk about incentives, you know, we always had challenges on NameJet dealing with the fact that your sellers and your buyers are not exactly aligned, right? Because buyers want to buy names for as cheap as possible and sellers want to sell names for as much as possible, right? So it's like, you know, and for us, the more activity, the better. Obviously, the bigger sales, the better. But, you know, you're also trying to make sure that your customers who are in a lot of ways your buyers, right, as well as your sellers, but, you know, are satisfied and happy and feeling like, you know, they're continuing to get the real value and opportunity from it. So, you know, I mean, it's just so those are a lot of those dynamics and a lot of problems and challenges that I think get solved. And then I think the gamification of it too is just makes it off the wall. Like the possibilities get super crazy. So anyway, yeah. And we're all degens at heart, right? So everybody just wants to fucking get in there and gamble and make paper, man. You know what I'm saying? Let's go. So anyway, talk quickly about how it works and then we'll keep moving into, you know, how it's going to work.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole concept really is that you get rewarded for bidding. Right. So at a basic level, the only two outcomes in a GBM auction are as a bidder, you either make money or you win the asset. That's it. Mm-hmm. They're the only two outcomes. Whereas in every other traditional auction out there, pretty much, it's you either lose because you don't win anything or you win the asset. And what's different here is that price discovery itself, the idea of price discovery, finding value, particularly for illiquid rare items, right? Is a service, right? For the seller, they are trying to find the best possible market value for that asset. And the people bidding are providing a service in real time, helping to discover that value. That's what auctions really are. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, well, they should be rewarded for that because it is a service and we should be rewarding them in real time and in such a way that aligns the incentives of the seller and the buyer as much as possible. It can never be fully aligned because it's a market, but as much as possible.
Sure.
And that's when the concept of Bid to Earn was born and what it is. But at a high level, when you get outbid, if you place a bid, you make a return. And that amount of return is capped. And there's a minimum step increase for every new bid that comes in, depending on what the cap of that return is. The most widely used preset. So we've done 200 million in bidding volume, over 70,000 auctions, almost $7 million earned by bidders to date. And across all of that, the most used preset is 10% maximum return, 10% increment for every new bid. That's basically the most used one at the moment. But you can go crazy. There's a degen preset for 25, which gets pretty nuts, but that's, you know, that's up to the seller. But basically, if I bid 100, right?
Love that.
And then I get outbid, and I'll make 10% if, depending on how much I've outbid the previous bid. So this is where the game theory comes in, right? So the idea is to try and get to the highest possible market value as quickly as possible so that the auctions are super efficient, so that price discovery is efficient, et cetera.
And well, so that's the whole point. I mean, the whole point is all this other stuff you're talking about are basically these ancillary benefits. Oh, there's now this market for making the price, for discovering the price. There's this new job, just like suddenly Uber was created and there's this new job category, like, I drive cars on the side and get people from point A to point B, and I get paid for that. Creating efficiency in the transportation market, right? And this is basically creating a new sector as an ancillary benefit. But the true point of all of this is just to arrive at what is the correct price of whatever it is, right? Yeah. And this is just – I've never seen a better way to do that. Now, obviously, on something that's like a commodity where the price is very transparent and it's easy to understand, the supply and the demand dynamics, this isn't necessary. But not that it wouldn't still have value, but if it's not necessary. Sure. But in an opaque market where nobody understands exactly what something is worth at a given moment in time, such as in domain names, such as in, let's say, a flight upgrade, such as a hot hotel listing in an event city at the time of an event. There's a lot of different things which have a variable demand or variable pricing that is very opaque. And in those situations, I cannot imagine a better way to arrive at the correct price than an incentivized bidding market whereby every person participating has both an incentive and a disincentive to participate in the fastest possible price discovery of whatever it is that's being sold. Whether you're the buyer or you're the seller or you're a third-party bidder who hopes to not hit the bid but to help price discovery and earn a fee.
Totally.
But it's very interesting. And for the people bidding that are, let's say, whatever that's going to be called, a market maker, a price discovery.
We call it a professional bidder. It's a professional bidder.
I like price discovery monkey personally. That's my preference. But if you're going to be a price discovery monkey and you're just going to be bidding and you're trying to get within, let's say, the last 5 or 10% of what you think that item is ultimately going to sell for, you want to get there on your first bid. Because if the moment you get that outbid, boom, now you're getting whatever it is. If there's only one bid, if the actual final buyer outbids you and you were the bid just below that, 5-10% below that, it's like 90% of the proceeds that go to the bidders go to you. And so the game theory is amazing. Obviously, that takes time for people to understand and adopt and then get used to it. But I really think that this is the single best way to arrive at price discovery in any opaque market.
On that point of education, because education is such a big thing for us, it has been from day one because we're bringing new things into the market, whether it's tokenization of domain names or our auction technology, whatever it is, but we're about bringing innovation. And education is a big part of that. And what we've seen, like, you know, with a lot of our clients in the NFT space, initially when we release a GBM auction, people go in and they don't really know like what it is. They're like, okay, I'm in a normal auction, right? And then they start seeing the incentives come out. They start seeing them go, they start seeing themselves making money. And there's this like crazy aha moment where they're like,
listen,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
And then in future auctions after that date, when they understand how it works, the price discovery curves look really interesting, right? So initially they come in and it's like, it looks like an English auction. It kind of goes like this. And then at the end, there's the flick up, right? That's the first GBM auction. In the second GBM auction, it goes like this. It's just vertical,
plateau
for a bit, then another flicker.
Yeah.
Because people begin to understand how the game.
Yeah, they're like, oh, wait, instead of bidding $50 for that thing I think is going to sell for $1,000, I'm going 999 because right I know now. There's a dude paying 1,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
then I'm gonna get, you know, I'm gonna make.
I'm gonna get 99 bucks.
Tie up my 999.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna make 99 bucks.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's this. This is going to be huge when people actually get their heads around it.
Yeah.
And when the problem is the chicken and the egg problem. You need great names to attract real bidders, right? And once you get that and people understand, oh, wait a minute, they go through that cycle of what you just explained of like discovery and understanding and you know, nothing. It's like, you know, money hitting your wallet or a fist hitting your face are basically the two best ways of coming to, you know, a real understanding of the situation. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah,
totally. And that's the other key thing is it needs to happen.
That's what it takes. Basically, what it takes for 99% of people to you know,
do things,
change their mind is a punch in the face or money in their wallet or money leaving their wallet.
Yeah. You know, yeah. They talk about carrot and stick. Yeah. It's pretty important.
Yeah. Most people need the stick or at least deserve the stick. But, you know.
That's a different conversation.
Exactly. But yeah, on that point, you know, that's the other part of why it was born in the world of crypto for us, because the real-time element is so important. You know, you can't, all auctions pretty much today are like hand up, hand up, hand up, hand up, you know, and then a week later, I'll send you an invoice, you send me the money and I'll send you the asset. If you don't send me the invoice, the whole thing's screwed, the whole thing's defaulted. You know, there's cash flow problems there for settlement. And crypto for us really did just solve all of that and allowed us to do this, you know, bid 100, 10 seconds later, you got 110, rebid 110, 10 seconds later, you've got 120, you know, whatever it might be. It allows for those instant dynamics. It's fully funded. It's fully secure. It's automated. It's just a match made in heaven, basically.
Well, no, I was just going to say, and that was one of the things that when we got into NFTs initially, pretty heavy. It was one of the things we really liked about it, NFTs was the instant transactionality of it, right? Where, you know, you buy it, you have it, right? You pay for it immediately. It's not like, you know, what we're used to with domain auctions is, okay, like you said, a week later, you're paying for it. Then it's got to be transferred. You know, let's talk about that in a second too, but you know, it's like you're waiting for it to be delivered. You know, you finally get the name, you know, the payments made, you know, these things and live auctions. I mean, that shit would stretch out potentially over months when you're talking about chasing down payment and names and things. So, you know, one of the things that was super exciting for us, again, diving into the crypto stuff and especially NFTs was that, you know, was the instantaneousness of the transactions, you know, which was pretty cool. And that's obviously a big piece of what you're doing. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so then obviously the journey of that price discovery system, how do we apply this to domains? Well, to start with, we still need a crypto infrastructure to make this work. We're working on a Web2 native infrastructure for the system, but it's taking a bit of time. You need a lot of fiat partners, Rails, et cetera. In a couple of months, we should have something there. But for now, it's all crypto-orientated. And so we were like, well, how do we apply this auction system to the crypto market in a way where people can access it, but it also... how do we bring those things that you just said you liked about NFTs to the domain space as well, right? And we were looking at how do we combine this to create a better experience for domainers overall using Web3 technology, right? And that's what was born in GBM.domains. So GBM.domains is really a place to tokenize a traditional domain name, and then you can sell that domain name via GBM, via our system, as in its tokenized form for USDC for the moment, all built on the base network. So it's instantaneous, very, very quick, good user experience. And now you can move that NFT that represents the underlying domain name that sits in our GoDaddy proxy account. Sorry, not GoDaddy, our Dynadot proxy account. And you can now move it around and do things with it. Like you can do things with an NFT, but you can't do with a traditional .com sitting in a registrar, right? That's the idea of GBM.domains. So now you could send it to a collateralization contract if one exists. You could fractionalize it if there's a contract that does that. Or you could just buy and sell the token on GBM.domains or other tokenized marketplaces that we integrate with. And it's instantaneous, right? It's instantaneous. The fees can therefore be slightly lower, and you can engage with great systems like GBM, which you can't do on a traditional platform or traditional auction house, whether it's GoDaddy Aftermarket, Afternic, or Dynadot Secondary Market, whatever it is. They're not going to have bid to earn because for the moment it needs to operate on a crypto infrastructure. So to kind of just on a basic level walk you through this sell side process of GBM.domains, right? You come, GBM.domains, if you've been whitelisted as a seller on our platform, which is still a process that we're going through, so you need to apply to become whitelisted for your wallet address. But once we've done that, you can register a new domain name on our Dynr.proxy account, or you can transfer a domain name to the Dynr.proxy account. And then once that's done, tokenize it, and now sell the token via GBM auctions. And this also means that, like, sure, there's a bit of a bridge to getting to the tokenized state. But once in the tokenized state, it's done, right? You're now in this kind of more unlimited digital world with more instantaneous transactions, more interesting price discovery tools and other tools like collateralization, et cetera. And you can keep it there for as long as you want in that form, which we would sort of say is the more liquid, more frictionless form. Or if you want to, at any point in time, you just come on, log into your GBM.domains account with your wallet, redeem the underlying domain name from the registrar account, burn the token, and now you've got your traditional .com or domain name in your registrar account, wherever you transferred it to, whether it's a Dynr.proxy account or you transferred it out to a GoDaddy account. At that point, you still have to obviously go through the traditional cooling off period and the other process of moving the .com, the domain around. Mm-hmm. But you now have this optionality, right, as a seller, which I think is value. I think it is bringing a little bit more of what the Web3 world can do into the domain space. And, you know, now you have that option as to whether you want to keep it in more liquid tokenized form or back into traditional form. But now that you have a platform where you can do that via GBM.domains, you have GBM auctions, et cetera, you know, we've created that bridge, basically. And that was a large part of, as well as bringing the auction tech to the domain industry, that was a large part of our motivation, because we didn't come at this from a, let's just get rid of Web2. Let's overhaul the whole thing. Like IP doesn't, the IP, you know, TCP IP doesn't matter anymore. It's all going to be Web3. Like everything's going to be ENS, et cetera. And sure, there's really cool stuff in that, but I think it's the wrong way to look at it. It's more, how do we make the existing mature market, right, that is going to have value for a lot longer time to come? And how do we take the good bits from what's happening in the innovative world of Web3 and apply it to this market? And I think it's a slightly different mentality to, ours is better, let's just replace it. Or let's just make everybody think that this is better, right?
Yeah.
That's not what we were trying to do. So that's, from the sell side, that's a large part of what GBM.domains does and what we're trying to do there. And really just give an easy way for people to tokenize their assets, their domain assets.
Yeah, no, and I think it's awesome. And, you know, it also goes back to a lot of what we've talked about on the show. And, you know, when we talk about what is the future of Web3, and, you know, at first when there was that big wave or bubble, whatever you want to call it, where Web3 is going to replace Web2 and this, that, and the other. And Drew would say, and I would agree, that, you know, Web3 is really an application layer on top of Web2, right? So the Web2 domains, in fact, become more valuable. It's just because you can do more with them, right? And that's now what we're starting to see, even where GoDaddy and biggest, you know, some of the biggest domain businesses, registrars, what have you, you know, are doing things to allow, you know, .eth and, you know, or allowing the, not .eth necessarily, but allowing traditional domains to then become crypto wallets and things like that. So, you know, again, you have this, you know, sort of as it's working and as this is evolving and coming into focus as to where, you know, where's the real value, where's the real opportunity, the interesting things that can be done. You know, what I think is really awesome being a domain maxi, you know, is that domains retain and in fact increase in value with the more that you can do with them. And Web3 opens up all these amazing opportunities and possibilities as to how to make existing systems better, right? So, and that's exactly what it is that you guys are doing. So when now, as far as utilizing a domain, so if I win a domain, a GBM, and then so I effectively own the token at that point, which gives me the right to the domain. Now, if I want to use the site, like if I want to,
and that right is secured, how?
So yeah, this is super important. So like a lot of, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, people who tokenize domains, right? It's very important to actually go from the first principle of what is a domain, what does it represent, what do you have when you own a domain, how's the license recreated, what are the rights of that license, like what do I actually own? And that's kind of where we started. And there's the big problem that we tried to solve. And so in our case, it's very, very clear. We have a very clear license agreement. Whenever you tokenize a domain, you sign that license agreement, and it stipulates contractually and legally that you own the underlying domain name in the proxy account technically under our custody, but if you own the token, you have the right to redeem that domain name at any point in time and take it back into your own custody. And you have an owned license to that domain name, pretty much in the same way that an existing registrar operates with the account holder who holds that domain with that registrar, right?
Yep. Because what a lot of people don't even realize too, when you talk about, you know, your rights to a domain is effectively a contract, right, that you have with the registrar, effectively holding a domain in your, you know, as you know, as your proxy in the first place, right? So this is part of a departure from that, you know. But
exactly, we're mirroring exactly that existing relationship, exactly. And the key thing there is also that redemptionality aspect, in that, like, you know, if you ever have the jitters, or you don't like this anymore, or the tokenized form scares you, or whatever, you can just, you know, in that one click, transfer it to whatever registrar account you know and love, and that's fine. But the license agreement is very clear. You know, it complies with all of ICANN's wants and needs. It's really a proxy service built up on top of the Dynadot registrar, who is the partner that we work with for this, and the API that we've built out all of our stuff on.
Big shout out to Dynadot and Todd Hahn, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, we don't utilize Dynadot a ton, but we do have a lot of a lot of love and respect for them. They do a great job over there. So I think that's they seem to be pretty open, and you know, they're still one of those registrars. They're as big as they are, which obviously means they're not going anywhere, but they're pretty nimble, all things considered, especially compared to some of the others in the business.
They're innovating, you know, like we looked at, you know, when we were building this, we're like, what are we building this on top of, right? We need an existing partner. Who are we using? So we had a good deep dive into all of the guns and all of the guys on the block. And a lot of it mirrors with, you know, what are their licensing terms look like? What do their TOU look like? What does their API look like? How strong is their API? What does their registrar security look like? How much, you know, bandwidth have these guys got? What does their longevity as a business look like? You know, all of these things. And we ended up choosing Dynadot for a whole variety of those reasons. So, you know, just on that aspect, as being a kind of a third party builder, it's a big shout out to them that they built an infrastructure that attracts that. And so I think that's, that's kudos to them for looking. I mean, they're pretty innovative as far as registrars go.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, and shout out to you guys for doing the diligence to find the right partner to build this on top of, or to at least layer on top of for the time being until you decide something different, right?
Yeah.
All good.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker, specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
Well, so, and now, the platform exists, it's time to start auctioning domains, right? And we have some domains that we're, disclosures, I guess, NFA, not financial advice, I don't know. But, you know, we're going to run some auctions coming up here in the next couple of weeks on the GBM platform to start testing it and messing with it and seeing what's up. So let's talk about that. I mean, we got 8 domains. I got the list. So it's a decent name. So we got brickweed.com, chainchoice.com, getblazed.com, which I actually really like getblazed, because it's like getblazed, like, you know, when you're talking about getting high. But if you have a product like where you call blazed and you can't go getblazed.com, getblazed.com is a good alternative. Nicerides.com is a really good one. Hirecaliber.com, trippy.co, synopsis.co. And then buytix.co, spelled T-I-C-K-S. What's that? The buy
tickets.
Tickets? Oh, yeah. But you, all right. I'm like, are people going to buy
Chain Choice is my personal favorite. I love that one. I could see some awesome, like, you know, price comparison, chain comparison site that has done like DDD on all the networks out there. Like, anyway, brain as an entrepreneur goes crazy when I see these names.
Oh, and that's part of what we do even on our domain shop reviews, right? Where we go through our lists on NameJet and all that kind of stuff. We talk about, this could be used for that. Like, that's just part of what we do, right? Whenever we evaluate domains, thousands of domains on a daily basis, and trying to figure out value based on potential uses and brandability and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, no, I, to me, yeah, Chain Choice was one of those that, you know, having it in, these are all owned by us. These are our portfolio domains that we're listing. Yeah, I think that one was kind of a you know, that was a pretty easy choice, pun intended, you know, for this, considering, you know, sort of like what you guys are doing and the whole idea of like chain and blockchain and crypto and all that good stuff. But
yeah, I mean, our audience at the moment is obviously very crypto savvy and crypto native. I mean, you still have to have a wallet and you have to have some USDC and a little bit of ETH on base to be able to buy and sell and trade these assets right now. That is still obviously a huge barrier to entry for many people, but it is just the nature of the tech stack and what is needed from the buy side and sell side.
Real quick about that, because I want to talk about the requirements. So everybody, because now we're in this mode where we're not like saying, hey, we want everybody to come buy these domains. But I do think for people that are interested in what this is all about, it's important for people to get comfortable and start to buy it, right? So and part of this is also to help like get our audience and people we know and call it friends and family in the industry and everything else.
You know. And for the record, you know, these are being put out there with a zero starting price. There's no reserve. Highest bid wins. Right. And so
and so does everybody else.
And so does everybody else. Highest bid wins and all the other bidders.
Everybody wins. That's why I said, you know, I know that's
everybody wins.
Everybody wins. I love saying that when you know, we're like at Vegas and we're at the table and you're playing blackjack and the dealer busts and everybody wins, right?
Everybody wins.
Except the dealer, but nobody cares about the dealer. And
yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
In this case, there's no, you can't get beat on a 6-card 21. When you're sitting on, you know, 20 and then.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know what the worst thing is like you're in a GoDaddy auction and it's like a few bidders and that shit keeps going on for hours or a name jet and it's just running and running and running and running. And it's like, you know, you invest hours into it and you're right. Like, man, and then you lose and you walk away with your tail between your legs. You know, at least here you're getting, you know, you're going to, you know, you get a. You get a nice check.
Yeah. I mean, you're being rewarded for your time. You are spending time in these auctions, right?
Yeah, no, and I do think it's awesome. And each one of these names, I mean, we paid actual money. These aren't like hand reg type deals. So it's, you know, I mean, real value, you know, there's value here. And I think that's cool. And again, I was a little bit, you know, when Drew was like, hey, so here's the deal. We need X amount of names. You know, we went through a list, you know, trying to find ones that were interesting and had value. And I was like, yeah, but dude, if they don't, you know, get the value that we, you know, it's like, it's not really even about that, right? It's about, you know, starting to get adoption on the platform, getting people to try it out.
I mean, you guys are pioneering here big time, and you're taking risk.
Yeah, yeah, no. And look, and that's part of what we do. I mean, even just doing the Domain Sherpa show, you know, is taking time and effort and funds and you know, and opportunity costs and everything else. And, you know, to just get out into the universe and further, you know, elevate the whole space. So, you know, it's a lot of what, anyway, but the, but real quick. So, but let's talk about the process and how it actually
works,
how people do what they do. So for people who don't know, right. So Base is Coinbase is like chain, right?
Yeah. Proprietary chain. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's Ethereum based, right?
Yep.
So the way you need a Coinbase wallet, right? So you got to go to Coinbase. If you don't have it already, you need a Coinbase crypto wallet. And then can you do that right?
No, you don't need a Coinbase wallet.
You need either a MetaMask wallet or
a Coinbase. MetaMask or Coinbase. Yep.
MetaMask or Coinbase. Coinbase for new users though is infinitely easier, I would say. You know, so if you never touched crypto before and you know nothing about crypto, getting a Coinbase wallet would be the way to go in my book.
Right, for sure. Coinbase wallet, and then you effectively would then turn something, you know, whether it's Ethereum, Bitcoin Cash, whatever, into Base, right? I mean, Base is like their.
So the base network operates on Ethereum. So it's Ethereum that's been bridged to Base network. Okay. So imagine Base is like, you know, what we call an L2, a layer 2 on top of the Ethereum network.
Sure.
So like a faster processing layer on top of the existing main security layer.
Sure.
And
like a credit card is a layer 2 on the, you know, on the US dollar financial
system. Right, right.
Right. Same concept.
Yeah. And in Base, their main network, their token is ETH itself. It's just ETH moved to Base. And all of our auctions are done in USDC on Base, so a US dollar stable coin on Base.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you create your Base wallet, let's say that's the way you're doing it, you know, if you've already got a
USDC is part of Circle, right?
Yeah. And so
a very large financial player. This isn't just some shit coin company that popped up. It's It's Circle. It's a public company, I think.
Yeah, Jeremy Elliott. It's yeah. a very, very it's
high caliber.
To give you an idea, in terms of the stable coins out there, it's the only one we operate with, and we take our risk very seriously.
Yes.
So you know, you create your Coinbase wallet, and then when you have your Coinbase wallet, you can put some fiat into it. You can do a bank transfer of fiat. If you might have some other crypto that you send to it, you can do that. And then you basically swap your fiat that you deposited or directly through a credit card, or however you want to do it via their wallet interface, for some USDC on Base and some ETH on Base. You only need very, very little ETH on Base, like $5 worth of ETH on Base would be fine. But obviously, the amount that you want to spend in the auctions, you need that in corresponding USDC. So, you know, if I deposit $100 in my Base wallet, I'll get $5 of USDC. I'll get $5 of Base ETH, and I'll get $95 of USDC, right? And the ETH is just so you can send transactions from your wallet to the network via our website, right? Via our interface. And the USDC is actually the currency that you're using to.
So basically, the ETH is to pay the gas, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. The ETH, the ETH is the oil cost, and the USDC is actually what you're spending.
Okay.
And then once you've got that, you're good. You're set. And then if you win the auction, the token is directly sent from our smart contract into your Coinbase wallet, and now you have that token forever and forevermore. And you can trade that token, sell that token, hold that token. And back to your point about utilizing the domain name via our GVM.domains platform. As long as that token is in your wallet and you're logged in with that wallet, you can manage the domain name. You can change the name servers, do the forwarding, park it, you know, do all the things you can do on a normal registrar directly from our interface as long as you hold that token.
Okay.
And if you don't want to hold the token after the auction because you're not comfortable holding it or whatever it is, you want to do something else with the domain name, then as I say, you just click the redeem button, go through the redemption process, which is super quick. And then you send it to your own Dynadot account. And then from your own Dynadot account, you can send it out to another registrar afterwards if you want.
Sure. Basically. And now, not to get too far into the weeds, but when you change the token, is when you burn the token and you take, let's call it physical control of the domain.
Sure. Yeah. It's a good way to think of it. Yeah.
Does the registrant information change at that point? So is the domain then able to, so there is a bit of a lockup period once you take possession of it at Dynadot before you can move it, right?
Yeah. So if you have your own account on Dynadot and you take it out of our proxy account on Dynadot to your personal account on Dynadot, that's instant and that's all fine. The whois changes, everything you need changes instant. If you have a GoDaddy account, a Cedo account, whatever it might be, and you don't have a Dynadot account, sadly, because of how the world works at the moment, you do need to have, you do need to create a Dynadot account first to take custody on it. And then from there, you can move it out to any other registrar.
And you can use it, right? I mean, at that point, you can.
Oh, of course. Right on, you know, then you're working with a perfectly viable registrar to do whatever you want, you know, with your domain name beyond what you can do on GBM.domains. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, cool. Can you set up an email on it while it's tokenized, or do you have to untokenize it in order to?
You can, I believe. I don't know if you can do it directly through our interface yet, but you should be able to set up an email while it's tokenized. I'd have to double check on that with my tech team.
If you can't do it, you probably can develop that so that it can be done.
Exactly. These are all things that we're looking to develop in the future. I mean, our goal is that you never have to, once it's tokenized, you never have to pull it out. That's the end game goal. Yep. There's lots of layers to do that. For the moment, I think you probably would need to take it out to do that. But you know, hopefully 3-4 months from now, you won't need to. That's kind of our thinking.
Sure. Yeah, no. Well, I mean, look, and I think knowing the way that you guys operate and seeing the way that you guys are aggressive with your roadmap, vision, the way you tackle things and get things done. I mean, we've been part of this process a bit, but not so involved that, I mean, this is why we're asking the questions. I'm not just doing this an infomercial where it's like, but wait, there's more.
Yeah.
It really is interesting. And I know that, you know, the way you guys operate is really impressive. And so what's the timeline for the auctions? Also, I guess, full disclosure, you know, we're going to be testing and bidding and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we will be involved in the auctions and getting to see it and try, you know, and understand it firsthand as well. These auctions, what is the timeline and when does it go live? What's good with that?
So the idea is that they all go live on the 19th, mm-hmm. So Friday this week. And that'll be whatever time you guys decide, really. What time, sure. You know, you 4 p.m. UTC, 9 a.m. UK, who knows, whatever you guys want. Sure. But once you guys decide on the time of day, that's the day it goes live. And then I think the idea would be to leave it for 7 days, okay, which is the longest auction period that we offer. You can also set them at different amounts, but it's quite nice to have 8 together as a group that last for 7 days. That also allows us to make as much noise about it as possible, which we sure want to do.
Yep. Yep.
And it also means it's quite fun.
Yeah, I think they should have like maybe, you know, 5 to 10 minute intervals, maybe 5 minute intervals.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah.
They're not for all sure ending at the same time.
For sure.
But they should probably all close within an hour. And
the other quite fun.
I mean, unless the bidding keeps running, obviously.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So, how does that work? So, what's the timeline? Yeah,
so we have a thing called Hammer Time. So, anything
Hammer placed, Time,
Hammer Time, anything placed in the last 10 minutes or 20 minutes, I can't remember which one it is. Either 10, 20 minutes resets it back for 10 minutes. So, okay, so you can't bid snipe, right? Yep. This is a bid sniping.
And that's
anti-system, let's say. So it could technically infinitely go on forever if there is some serious bidding appetite.
Brickweed is going to go on for like a full
brickweed auction lasts 10 years. Yeah, exactly. but yeah, that's the time and that's the plan. It's also quite fun to have a group together because, you know, people might come for chain choice, right? Bid, get out bid beyond their budget, but they've made, you know, 10% on their overall winnings or you know, on their overall budget. And now suddenly brickweed's looking kind of tasty, right? Yeah. So
be crazy. You could literally buy a domain with your with your earnings from bidding.
We've had people do that. So that's literally and also we have sellers that have covered like all of their costs because they came on to sell something. There's a few fees obviously in relation to that. There's some gas fees, whatever, when they create the listing. There's our fee, which is 2% of the overall sale price. 5% of the overall sale price. And they then have started to bid on stuff that's also on the market that's not theirs. And they've made enough money bidding on stuff to cover all of their sales costs. So they leave very happy. So, yeah.
No, that's crazy. So 5% is the fee to the sellers plus some gas, or is that kind of?
No, so gas is all paid by the wallets directly in real time. So as a seller, you pay a very small gas fee. That's the beauty of Base. Like we ran this system on the Ethereum mainnet way back in the day.
Yep.
And at one point it was $1,500 to place a bid.
Yeah.
Right. Like just to place a bid.
Sure.
And there's an example of why blockchain wasn't fit for purpose.
Why L2s exist, right? I mean,
why L2s exist and Base Network in particular. Selling the asset to listing it in terms of gas fees and placing a bid is like a 10th of a cent.
Yeah.
So it's a different ballgame.
I love it. You know, and considering that, you know, most standard auction platforms charge 15%, you know, or more.
And one of the other super cool things there is the escrowless idea that we've created. So, you know, if you're a broker or a seller, and you have one specific buyer and you have a set agreement in mind with this buyer, you know, using escrow.com or traditional escrow services, sure, but you're going to pay 2% and you're going to go through that process. If your buyer is a crypto buyer in particular or willing to transact with you via USDC on Base, you can just tokenize the domain name, do a private listing on our platform, set it for one specific price, this is $100, whitelist the address of the buyer, right? All in our interface. Only this address can interact with this listing. Yeah. Only that address can then see the listing. They click 100, they pay 100. 100 USDC from that seller's account, from that buyer's account goes straight to the seller via our smart contract. No escrow involved. Totally trustless. And the token that represents the domain goes straight to the buyer. No third party needed. And we charge half price for providing that service, which is 1%. So, if you've got crypto buyers or you're doing private P2P deals and you have to go through that cumbersome escrow process, this is a whole new way to just like disintermediate that whole thing and just do it instantly.
That's dope.
Which is quite cool as well.
Yeah, that's super cool. I mean, I love it, man. You guys have such really cool, again, it comes down to vision and being able to execute on it. And you guys are such for that. I've been doing this for a while. So, you know, you look at how long you've been in the space and, you know, even just how long we've been, you know, I mean, Drew invested 4 or 5 years ago.
Six years ago.
Yeah. Back when it was all on the back of a napkin and we were like, hey, Drew, we've invented a new auction system. Yeah, sure. Let me take a look. Oh, this is kind of cool.
Yeah. So it's pretty, it's wild. And it's 6 years and this timeline is like, you know what I'm saying? That shit's like 30 years of like, of old time. Now it's shit is just insane how fast everything moves. But yeah, man, well, that's what's up. So all good stuff. I'm trying to think if we've got anything else to cover. You know, we've got about 5 minutes left. So we did a nice job of staying on time, which is great. But yeah, I guess.
I just want to give a big warm welcome to Hugo finally, you know, being a member of the domain name community.
Yeah. I'm breaking.
Getting up out of the dirty, you know, the dirty dog shitcoin community and getting in the domain community.
It's like going.
We're dealing with real assets over here.
Oh, snap. But the mud's the same, son. He'll be on Name Pro soon talking smack, you know.
You know what? That's not a bad – I mean, look, I personally hate Name Pros. I think Name Pros is a cesspool of just ignorant thought. But I would encourage you to reach out to them and, you know, let all the shipwrecks on Name Pros, you know, liquidate their domain names. Via GBM auctions that are in the thing.
And timeout. And the Drew's dislike of Name Pros as a platform.
Name Pros is a toxic cesspool. I take back nothing I said. Billy,
I'm telling
you're fired if you edit a single word of what I've just said.
I'm not taking anything.
Listen to me. I am saying that despite the ignorant troll farm that Name Pros is, there's value to be created by GBM auctions, you know, engaging with them and allowing these people to liquidate their worthless domain names to each other.
Yeah, but shout out to Eric and Edward. And, you know, I do got some love for the folks at Name Pros. It's the trolls that inhibit the cave, though. I agree.
No, if you are the cave master and you have trolls in your cave, you are a. Exactly.
You are a troll. You are the math.
Listen.
Flood the cave. That's it. All right. Anyway, no, all good. But I do think that it's a good opportunity, you know, to engage and
let DN Forum, Name Pros. It's actually a very interesting interesting place to initiate people to this idea. Well, no, not just the ideas, but actually just very passively and easily with let's say a relatively competent and friendly audience. A competent question, but you know, you can get people to start playing with this.
Yeah, so
they're gonna love it. Everybody that takes the time to understand what it's doing is gonna love this.
Yeah,
well, anybody who loves buying and selling domain names, this is literally gonna be like crack. But it just takes you to take the time to understand what this is. Don't start speaking the first words that come into your mind. That's what animals do, right? Think critically about what this is, how it arrives at the best possible price for that asset, and what that means, you know, larger implications for domain names as a whole, right? I've been transparent from the get-go, and for over a decade, for 15 years, I've been saying we need several things in order to advance this industry, okay? In order to grow the pie, we need price discovery, we need more liquidity, and we need lending, okay? That's it. And this helps us get another step further. Everything I've done in this industry, from Domain Sherpa to various auction things I've done to the various investments and partnerships I've made that I've brought into the domain space, everything is about growing this pie. And I really encourage people, I think that people are going to love this. I think it's really going to. I think if we can create a dynamic domain name marketplace where people are buying and selling domain names the way that they were able to buy and sell, you know, monkey JPEGs, but actually these are real assets, and not only that, but they're real commercial assets. I mean, look, it's on like Donkey Kong. right? This is what everybody wants. This is what everybody's been talking about for decades. How do we create liquidity? How do we create price discovery? How do we get people to understand the value? Well, you allow people to understand value when the market trades at that value. And the market trades at that value when you create the incentives for people to participate, which ultimately drives the liquidity and further price discovery. So this is going to be a very beautiful cycle, but it will take time for people to educate themselves and begin using it. We got to make sure it gets into the right, you know, channels. I think Dynadot is a great first partner. You know, obviously, if this was happening on GoDaddy auctions, let's go. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want to see as a user. Even if I had no relationship whatsoever with GBM auctions, it's like, what do I want? I want MemeJet and I want GoDaddy and I want Dropcatch to be using this, because this is the best way to arrive at the best price and for me to not waste my time bidding against a bunch of people and then ultimately not winning, right? And so this is basically rewarding people for the work of the expertise that you've learned through trial and error of domain name buying and selling. You have an expertise. There's no way to capitalize on that expertise except buying and selling these shit domain names until you actually earn enough capital to participate in the real market. But through that expertise, you can now earn. You're some guy, you're in Pakistan, and you're out here hustling your ass off, working 10 times harder than the schmuck in Oregon. And you know, does a couple of deals a year, but he makes money because he's trading in high value domain. Well, you're trading pop, 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 left and right. Now you can use your expertise, regardless of where you are, to participate in price discovery. And the more price discovery you create, the more value you create, the more you're rewarded for that value that you create. And price discovery is something so fundamental to the healthy functioning of a market. It's not something people think about, but it's like it immediately struck me for whatever reason, probably because I was in the commodity business, how important price discovery was in this domain space. And so I think GBM is the solution to that. I'm very excited to just see how it all rolls out. I'm very happy to throw eight names out there and let people have a field day bidding on these things. They'll probably go for a hell of a lot cheaper than they should go for, but it doesn't matter. I don't care if they go for $100 or $1,000 or $10,000. It doesn't matter. I just want people to participate and practice and understand how this works, because the moment you either buy a domain through this method, or even better, you participate but you don't win it, and wait a minute, my account now has more money than it started with when I started bidding, and it's like, let me bid again, and then somebody outbids you and you get more money, and you're like, wow, this is it literally is going to, it's hard to understand until you see that. When you see it and you understand what it is you're being paid for, what you're being paid for, people think, oh, it sounds like a scam. Well, it sounds like, no, what you're being paid for is your expertise.
Exactly.
Or, you know, everybody gets accidentally lucky, right? But you're being paid for price discovery. Exactly. You're being paid to know what something is worth in order to drive the true and highest purpose bidder that's participating to the highest possible value they're willing to pay for that item, which ultimately is its value in the market at that moment in time.
Nailed it on the head, Andrew. Couldn't have said it better. That's exactly the name of the game and what it does.
Well, and this is the moment Drew's been waiting for. He's literally like, you know, he's like a boxer getting ready to come out into the ring. He's like Eminem getting ready to take the stage at the Shelter. You know, mom's spaghetti, knees weak, arms are heavy. You know, he's ready to rock and roll. But I think it's awesome. I think the biggest thing is just getting people onboarded, getting sellers to list their domains, getting buyers to show up and bid, which is why it'll be really great.
To be clear. And I'm going to speak out of turn here because I'm literally just a passive investor and I have nothing to do with the running and operation of this company. But I believe the intention is not for GBM.auctions to become, you know, a domain auction behemoth. I'm not writing it out. But the idea is to just further the understanding of what a GBM auction is in the industry, so that the people who actually have existing marketplaces and auctions and registrars understand the value that's created through this and adopt it and utilize GBM auctions in their own marketplaces and in their own auctions. That, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, is, let's say, the end goal. A year from now, or 10 years from now.
Yeah. The name of the game is for GBM to become the new dominant global standard for auctions. I mean, that's our goal, right? Whether it's domains, real estate, corporate liquidations, rare antiques or art, we want it to become a new dominant standard for price discovery for assets.
Yeah.
And the best way for us to bring it to the domain space was just to do it ourselves, right? Like, no one's going to do it for you. Roll up your sleeves, do it yourself, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what we've done. We're excited by what we've built and what is there. But if there is a bigger and better way to get it out into the market so everybody can utilize it, we're all ears.
100%.
It's just, for us, it's all about getting it to that kind of scale. And GBM.domains is a starting block for the domain market. And if there's faster, better ways to get access to that out there, we're all ears.
Awesome. Anybody that wants to auction off high quality domains through GBM and doing a test, and you've got a little bit of expertise and you know familiarity with crypto, you reach out to GBM. This is not some special thing that I'm doing because I'm an investor. I'm just being a sacrificial lamb to throw some names in, you know, out there. Paige Howe has already run a couple of auctions with you guys. Howe is a friend and guest of the Domain Sherpa Show, longtime industry participant. Just brought his daughter to the Names Con. He's bringing in the next generation. She's our new industry social media influencer.
we have social media influencer now. Check it out.
Look, where we come.
We came so a big shout out to Paige. And
anyways, my point is that this isn't being done for my benefit in any way. Okay. I believe this is the best way to create price discovery for a domain name in an auction format. And I really hope that people participate as buyers. I hope that more people sign up and say, I want to try and sell some domains this way. And, I hope that, I hope it clicks for people the way it clicked for me. And people see what it is. And all of a sudden we start selling mad names.
Yeah. When the penny drops, it really drops. It just takes some time for the penny to drop.
Yeah.
Well, I think time is good too. We're at a good spot. This is going to be a good timing for this to come out.
Yeah. And I also think too, and then the onboarding piece is just, people that have gotten familiar. I mean, we used to talk about it a lot, during the ICO boom and other things. I was on the sidelines for a lot of stuff where the technical onboarding at times was challenging, right? And then like meme coins and shit like that, it's like there's still a whole lot of stuff that's part of the process, right? But things have gotten easier. And I think that, if people are able to create, Coinbase wallet is pretty low barrier of entry. And then, moving some, like you said, moving something into it of value and then swapping it into some ETH, just a baby bit of ETH and then some USDC to get busy. And then everything proves out from there, right? You connect your wallet to the platform and then it's not like you
Once you're in, you're in. Once you've done the initial heavy lifting, the wallet, filling the wallet, the getting the stuff, you have your passport to Web3 done. You're ready to go.
And the cool thing too is
enabled site, you can work from.
You got your passport to nowhere.
You got your passport.
I disagree with that.
You got your passport to earn.
You got a passport to earn. That's what you got.
Yeah.
And that might actually become that might be the name of today's show. But I think
passport to earn. I like that.
But I think, and then from there, it's like, look, I mean, most people are already relatively crypto native, at least to that degree. But if not, then it's like, man, I mean, for anybody who's trying to figure out how this stuff works, I mean, from there, you can kind of, do a lot of even other stuff. But kind of to Drew's point, like that's your passport to his opinion nowhere. Can you put Bitcoin it's a Coinbase wallet.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, once you've got your Coinbase wallet, you can put anything in there, including
load up on Bitcoin.
Drew's personal favorite Bitcoin. Absolutely.
Load up on Bitcoin because I was thinking it's not like it's a base wallet only, right? It's just that's how you can enter.
It's a Coinbase wallet, but obviously operates with Base and any of the other networks on Ethereum.
Yeah, so it's actually pretty easy from there. So anyway, but yeah, hey, so let's get some people, let's get onboarded, let's have some fun, let's get busy in these auctions, and let's see what happens. I'm just excited to test it and use it. I haven't messed with the platform at all, so you know, we've been very much on the periphery, just kind of, you know, engaged a little bit, but you know, this is really where the rubber starts to meet the road, and it's exciting time. So all right, well, look, thank you so much, Hugo. Really appreciate everything you guys are doing and for being on the show. Drew, as always, thank you for taking the time. And to the audience, like I say on every show, thank you all for tuning in. Without you, there is no us. There's a lot to digest here. There's a lot to unpack. Get at us. I mean, this is really where feedback to us, you know, connect.
Totally. Please, feedback. Get GBM. Get Hugo some feedback. Give us feedback. Just, you know.
Let's go.
We're show doing- us you got a heartbeat.
Yeah, we're trying to do some things, and I think it's all exciting stuff. So, but that's what's up. And so thank you all for jumping down the rabbit hole with us on today's show. And we'll see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. So peace out, everybody. We'll see you all soon.
Thanks for having me.